T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll get back to the entanglement situation in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the great opportunity, the great privilege to highlight something that I found quite remarkable. And it is how very smart people don't know jack about black people. We all know it is a reality. As a matter of fact, in my college class, I make every student cite black scholars, and I don't care if the student is black, white, brown, it doesn't matter. Every student in my college class has to cite black scholars in their research because I refuse to be the smartest Negro they know. And I have to do this intentionally because outside of the academic arena, they may not have those opportunities to learn from black scholars. So we mandate it in my classroom. Two very, very well-known scholars have a remarkable article in the Washington Post. Dr. Leslie T. Fenwick is Dean in Residence at the American Association of Colleges for Teacher Education and Dean Emeritus of the Howard University School of Education and a member of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture Scholarly Advisor Committee. Also, Dr. Chika Akua, no stranger to us here. He's my professor at Clark Atlanta University, assistant professor of educational leadership at CAU, who specializes in the sociocultural foundations of education. His dissertation research, The Life of a Policy, is the first to examine the formulation and implementation of Florida Statute 1003.42, which requires that students learn the history of African Americans. And he's had a long, distinguished career, not only collegiate, but also K through 12 education. Dr. Fenwick and Dr. Akua, thank you both for being on the program. How are you?
Thanks so much, Dr. Ritchie. It's great to be on with you.
Dr. Ritchie, thank you for your voice and advocacy.
Absolutely. This is a remarkable read. I read this and, you know, initially I said, what prompted you all to write this article in the Washington Post or for the Washington Post? So let me start there. What is the genesis of this article and why do you think it was so important to put this in wording?
Dr. Fenwick, I'll turn that over to you.
Well, primarily, the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, and the Black Lives Movement. Our feeling was that part of what is energizing violence against Black people, part of that, even though it's a historic issue, is lack of knowledge about our truth. And our truth is captured in the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture, in addition to other places. And so as educators, we have a fundamental belief that education can lead to enlightenment and enlightenment can lead to liberation. And so it was George Floyd's murder and the Black Lives Movement that sparked our desire to write this piece and seek to have it published in the Washington Post.
And I would add to that, Dr. Ritchie, you know, we're at a time when the nation is in a state of self-examination and self-reflection. And Carter G. Woodson wrote that there would be no lynchings if it did not first take place in the classroom. So the way that curricula is shaped, the way that instruction is delivered, contributes to the lack of respect for the lives of Black people.
You know, in your class, Dr. Kaur, you have taught me so much, man. I utilize so much of your Afrocentric, African-based ideology in the classroom because it's a learner model. And because of your emphasis on the learning ability and the learning style, I've been able to employ that and become a better professor and really a better person. You take this a step further. This all started because of a group of Rhodes Scholars. Can you give us some background to that?
Sure, and I'm going to turn that over to Dr. Fenwick as well, because I was invited to participate in that tour through her.
So I met several of the Rhodes Scholars, the 2017 class of Rhodes Scholars, and they invited me to do the tour, and given his areas of expertise, I invited Dr. Akua to join me in that. That particular class had a record number of African-American Rhodes Scholars, the largest to date at that time. That number has increased since then. And it was those scholars who contacted me and said that they would like to do tour of the museum as part of their weekend of activities. So it was the Black scholars in the 2017 Rhodes Scholars class who approached me as a member of the Scholarly Advisory Committee for the museum to do the tour.
There's something in the article. I'm going to read this, and I want to get some background from Dr. Kaur. It says, anti-racist curriculums cannot simply be an interrogation of whiteness. There must be deep and substantive infusion of Black content into K through 12 schools and college, university, subject area content, required readings and assignments. Let's talk about that, because you lay out five things that institutions can do or people can do immediately. How do you feel this has been done so far, Dr. Kaur, with our K through 12 and our collegiate education model?
I don't feel like it's been done very well. And one of the reasons why is because I think people consider it enough to just pepper the curriculum with a few people of color. And then they'll say, well, that represents diversity or that represents multicultural education. And it does not. When we talk about an authentic education, we're talking about the views and the values, the standpoints and the perspectives of African Americans and other cultural groups being represented and properly understood. And so oftentimes that does not happen. I'm so glad to hear that you require that your students read from other Black scholars, because what that does is that lets them know that we are representative of intellectual authority. But in far too many schools and school systems, colleges and universities, whites are held up as the primary authorities, intellectual authorities. And so subconsciously, that makes them go or believe that those are the only ones that have a legitimate perspective on things. And sometimes this happens on a very subconscious level. And that becomes very problematic, because there are Black scholars that have solutions to Black problems and human problems. So it's very, very important that we not be left out of the discourse.
And I would add to what Dr. Akua says that, you know, quite frankly, a Eurocentric curriculum, whether it's higher ed or K-12, it does violence to students. It actually is violent because of the reasons that Dr. Akua stated. It communicates the message that you know, intelligent activity, the work of curiosity, invention, world travel, investigation belongs to whites. And so when you have a Eurocentric curriculum and then the deliverers of that curriculum are predominantly white as well, the message that's communicated to all students does all students a disservice, because it places the symbolism around intellectual inquiry and curiosity and investigation. it frames it as a white activity, and that's not factual. Additionally, when faculty and students and people generally don't have content knowledge, what happens around issues of race is they deteriorate into diversity conversations and dispositional statements. People need content knowledge. If they have content, the disposition around diversity, I think, will change.
Mm. Wow. This is in the Washington Post. You can find it if you go and just Google just how little U.S. students learn about African-American history. You will find it. Just how little U.S. students learn about African-American history. There are five dynamics laid out as to how K through 12 and higher education administrators, teachers, and students can begin this work. Number one says visit the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. Number two, consult and use the museum's digitized resources. Number three, revise your course syllabi, lesson plans, and required reading list to include the scholarship research and writing of Black scholars. Four, as a professional development exercise and to gather usable K through 12 resources, read Infusion of African and African-American Content in the School Curriculum, Proceedings of the First National Conference by Asa Hilliard, and work to revise teacher preparation programs to include coursework in African and African-American history. I'm so glad your recommendation list includes both, not only African-American history, but also African history, because we have seen how they have warped the African-American history to fit a Eurocentric model as well. For those who are listening, who should read this article? Who should download this article? And how should this be utilized to transform the conversation?
I think definitely parents need to read this article because they can advocate for this, and also teachers and educational leaders. I also want to highlight, Dr. Ritchie, that when we're talking about African and African-American history, it is key that you mention African and African-American, because, you know, African-Americans came from Africa and brought all of the cultural wealth and knowledge that goes along with that, which is largely a knowledge base that many are unaware of. But we should also note that it should not just be for the history or social studies class, that this knowledge should be disseminated in all of the classrooms, across the curriculum. This is certainly a part of the landmark legislation that the state of Florida came out with in 1994. Of all the Black history laws and legislations that I reviewed as a part of my research, I found Florida's to be most comprehensive in that it required not just the African-American content, which oftentimes people start with slavery, which is deeply problematic, but it required the African content. And it not only required it in the social studies classroom, but across the curriculum in every class, K through 12. So understanding the African and African-American contributions and accomplishments to science, to mathematics, to social studies, to language arts, to reading, to every single different content area. And that is very, very important, not only the content, but also the methods of instruction, using methods that are indigenous and unique to the needs of African and African-American students.
Well said. I'm encouraging everyone to make sure you read this article. Make sure you utilize it as a teaching opportunity for you and your family and also your group of friends and associates. There are many groups trying to now figure out how to become more diverse and more inclusive. Read this article, especially for those who are leaders in education. Read this article. Many parents are now having to become school teachers. Read this article. You can look it up by typing just how little U.S. students learn about African-American history. Make sure you check that out today. And we will have a post on the website later as well of this article. Dr. Fenwick, Dr. Kua, I thank you both.
Thank you
so much, Dr. Ritchie.
All right, there you have it. We got more on the other side. You're getting real with the realest man on radio.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.